Good evening, and welcome to yet another episode of The Last Knock, part of the Strange Society Network. Follow at StrangePodNet on Twitter for all your macabre podcasting needs. My name is Johnny Numb, and tonight, on another solo episode, I'm going to give you my takes on three Shudder exclusives, two recent and one a bit older. Billy Crash is currently convalescing in the wake of his second COVID vaccination, but is recovering well. For those who don't know, Shudder is the enormously popular horror streaming service that has become home to premieres of hotly anticipated genre films. And unlike other streaming services, which have a less than exciting selection for scare fans, Shudder curates its acquisitions with horror lovers in mind. In addition to its exclusive films, you can also browse a diverse selection of movies from all over the world from many decades, in addition to original series like Creepshow. Even my significant other, who is by no stretch a horror fan, enjoys watching A Discovery of Witches on Shudder. So there you go, there's something for everybody. For more information, go to shudder.com or follow them at Shudder on Twitter and Facebook. My first selection for tonight's episode is Haunt, running 99 minutes, written and directed by Scott Beck and Brian Woods, and its Shudder premiere date was October 24th, 2019. Sometimes horror asks us to understand the villain. Some films even go so far as to have us sympathize with the villain. And then there are times where filmmakers present villains acting according to their own twisted nature. But some horror presents villains in the simplest possible terms, creatures of malevolence without redeeming characteristics, to the point where we're wringing our hands in anticipation of their demise. Haunt falls into this category. Pulling influence from The Houses October Built and Tobe Hooper's classic The Fun House, the film follows a group of college students on Halloween. They make some fast friends at a party and find themselves on the hunt for a haunted attraction that leads them to the middle of nowhere. After an ominous meeting with a mute, clown-masked individual that sees them surrendering their cell phones, they enter the titular attraction, only to find themselves in a fight-or-die scenario. While this concept is nothing new, Beck and Woods, who scripted A Quiet Place, find fresh ways to mine horrific impact from their premise. The characters prove quite likable, to the point where we're invested in their fates. This is amplified more so by the remorseless and relentless sadism of their captors. What ensues is a classic good against evil battle where the deck is stacked against our unwitting protagonist. The script doesn't make the mistake of putting us ahead of the characters, thus making each new room a place of potentially fatal horror. Haunt also plays with the conceit of the mute and masked villain trope by giving us some surprising twists on the all-too-familiar Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees types, and all their forgettable rip-off ancestors, or I should say successors. The film creates fear from the human and therefore fallible nature of its antagonists, creating a sense of evil that is firmly rooted deep within not only the modern world, but the world that preceded it. Tale as old as time, indeed. As a group of literal thrill killers, the mass maniacs of Haunt adhere to their own twisted life philosophy, which makes the conviction of their actions all the more chilling. And while the very last scene may feel like an add-on, I'll be damned if it isn't one of the most satisfying cut-to-blacks I've seen in a long, long time. I give Haunt 4 out of 5 stars. Next up, in the pandemic has gone on too long and my pants don't fit department, we have Slacks with 2 X's. It runs 77 minutes, directed by Elza Kephart, and its Shudder premiere date was March 18th, 2021. There's a moment midway through Slacks where our perky young protagonist, Libby McLean, played by Romain Denis, discovers that the upscale designer clothes store that's just hired her is a raging hypocrite in its eco-friendly fair trade ethos. Said hypocrisy has inspired a rampage of bloody vengeance by, wait for it, a pair of possessed pants. I think we all went through a similar crisis when it came out that our favorite popular sneaker companies use sweatshop labor to build their respective empires. The most interesting kernel of Slax's overstuffed, overly ambitious plot is, what if all those companies who've been flaunting green or earth-friendly products and processes are really full of shit? But Slax also gives us co-worker competition, commentary on deplorable working conditions, and a lot of forced humor. There are some profound images, including a closing shot that sadly concedes that consumer demand for the most up-to-date fashion tramples the conditions in which said fashions were created. Kephart directs the proceedings with an eye for slick, too perfect visuals obscuring the corruption and darkness beneath the surface. But the script, which she co-wrote with Patricia Gomez, is overstuffed in its ambitions, to the point where Slax's relatively brief runtime would have greatly benefited from a sharper thematic focus. There's an intriguing visual imagination to the pants' murderous method, but said method becomes silly before circling back to seriousness in the last act, and by then it's too late. The film ultimately sacrifices any potential scare factor for heavy-handed messaging, and the caricature characters keep us from making a much-needed emotional connection with the material. That said, Libby is given the strongest character arc, and Denise's initial optimism that turns to revulsion and eventual activism is infectious. It made me recall a time when I was an idealistic kid, and that should count for something. If there's a reason to stick with Slax, it's her performance. Slax gets 2.5 out of 5 stars from me. And my final selection for the evening is something strange and special indeed. It's Fried Barry. Running 99 minutes, written and directed by Ryan Kruger. It premiered on Shudder May 7th. 2021. For a long stretch of Fried Barry, I kept thinking, this is Crank meets Under the Skin, in the best possible sense. Granted, there are other genre corollaries to be made. Sequences pay homage to everything from Extro to Possessor to Bad Boy Bubby and many more. And when it comes to homage, there's a fine line between creating something new and fresh from old elements, like, say, Joe Bagos' BFW, and throwing nostalgia at the screen for its own sake, like, say, Stranger Things. Writer-director Ryan Kruger isn't kidding when he calls this a Ryan Kruger thing, as Fried Barry transcends easy categorization. It's the amorphously plotted tale of the titular Cape Town louse, played with incredible, discombobulated conviction by Gary Green. Barry is a cadaverous-looking junkie who blatantly neglects his wife and child and shakes down local losers for money. One fateful day, he finds himself sucked into a UFO and taken over by an alien life form. What ensues is a subjective journey of seeing an all-too-familiar world through brand new eyes. It would be easy to list the events the Barry alien experiences over the course of Fried Barry's 99 delirious minutes, but mere description would not do the film justice. Kruger crafts a visceral sensory experience that utilizes moody and unsettling sound design, with a score by Hazer, and disturbing, drug-influenced visuals to the point where the story becomes more about bearing witness than configuring analysis. What begins as a crudely comedic romp eventually gives way to darkness and violence before culminating in a place of genuine and surprising affection. Fried Barry shouldn't work as well as it does. Most films that jump in and out of genres and attempt to juggle humor, horror, and emotion tend to trip somewhere along the line. But Kruger approaches a seemingly chaotic concept with an ear for dialogue and character interaction. While the film begins as a John Waters-esque string of distasteful encounters, Fried Barry hits the midpoint and transitions into something else altogether. So, while this very well may be Crank meets Under the Skin, it's also got more than a little bit of Starman and Forrest Gump running through its veins when all is said and done. But don't let that scare you off. It's a tale of one louse's redemption, and how a chance encounter breaks a life cycle of low-level repetition and irresponsibility. Fried Barry depicts the world and its inhabitants with horror, wonder, and a genuine authenticity we don't see very often. Fans of Hossu and Beyond the Black Rainbow, I would highly recommend Fried Barry, which I give 4 out of 5 stars. It's a film I'll definitely revisit in the future. And that brings us to the end of our show, and tonight I'm going to scream out to 3 folks you can find on Twitter. First is at Virago Ergo Sum, also known as Dottie Dairymilk, Cow of Mystery, also known as DM Elms. Her bio on Twitter is an 18-plus account, a Care Bear trying to do good, she, her, super queer, Black Lives Matter. And I'm mentioning Dee because I appreciated her reaching out to me to check out Slacks. I always appreciate her insight and commentary on matters inside and outside the horror genre, so thank you very much, Dee. Next we have Joy, at DeadGirl31 on Twitter. Her bio, I love her bio. When I die, bury me deep, lay 2 speakers at my feet, wrap some headphones around my head, and rock and roll me when I'm dead. Fuck you. For the uninitiated, that quote appears at the start of Panos Cosmatos' Mandy, which is another movie you can find streaming on Shudder. I highly recommend it. And thanks to Joy's recommendation, I checked out Fried Barry, so thank you very much, Joy. And finally tonight, Ronanflix, at the Ronanflix. Ronanflix is your home for classic genre movies and cult fan films on Blu-ray. Use hashtag Ronanflix to share your flicks with us. I'm mentioning Ronanflix because they recently put out an excellent special edition of Haunt, with posters, pins, magnets, among other goodies. So if you're like me and still watch a majority of your movies through old-fashioned physical media, Ronanflix is a good friend to have. True to their namesake, they also have the fastest shipping around. So that brings us once again to the end of another solo episode of The Last Knock. You can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Johnny Num. There are no H's in those Johnnies. You can also find my writing at CrashPalaceProductions.com and TheScreeningSpace.com. Shout out to Susan Layton at The Screening Space. And if you have any recommendations of your own for Shudder films I should check out, I'm not on Shudder nearly enough, even though I subscribe to it. Please feel free to reach out and let me know of anything you've seen that I should check out, and I will add it to my ever-expanding list of movies. So on that note, thank you all for listening, and enjoy the rest of your night. Bye.